Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
And welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Obama is expected to arrive with the first family on Martha's Vineyard tomorrow for the start of a two-week break, cueing much chagrin from various corners of the punditocracy.
A vacation, perhaps from reality? President Obama going on vacation again, all of them costing you, the taxpayer, millions of dollars.
So Fox News' Greta Van Susteren is none too pleased, but neither are others, as Obama's vacation begins just as he's authorized military airstrikes in northern Iraq today. However, the White House says the president will return to Washington for 2 days, halfway through his vineyard break, to attend meetings. Now, presidents have been vacationing in Massachusetts since the nation's infancy, and in just about every case, they've gotten at least some flack for it. Lawrence Knutson is a former Washington correspondent for the Associated Press and author of Escaping the Gilded Cage, an illustrated history of presidential vacations. We spoke with him a few years ago about the long tradition of criticizing presidential getaways.
The actual first criticism of a president for taking time off from the seat of government goes back to John Adams in 1797, when the Philadelphia Aurora, opposition newspaper, noting that the president had just left for his home in Quincy, Massachusetts, asked why the president had absconded from the seat of government just exactly when the critical state of affairs had left the public mind exceedingly agitated. At one point, he stayed in Quincy for a full 7 months, and that sort of thing has gone on more or less consistently from John Adams to the present.
And how did Adams respond to that criticism?
He responded the way most presidents do. He said he could operate just as successfully and just as efficiently in Quincy as he could in Philadelphia.
That's something that we've heard in recent memory as well. If I remember correctly, George H.W. Bush said, "I'm not going to be trapped in Washington, D.C. during the first Gulf War. I'm going to do my business in Kennebunkport because I can."
That's exactly what he said. It was on August 2nd, 1990, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, right at the beginning of the first President Bush's 25-day vacation. And the president essentially said he was not going to be trapped in the White House as the way he thought Jimmy Carter had been during the hostage crisis, and that he would not allow a dictator to dictate his vacation schedule. So he went ahead, full speed, with actual speed golf early in the morning, fishing in the afternoon, conferring sometimes on the boat with high-ranking members of the administration about the crisis in the Middle East, but then continuing, coming back for a round of horseshoes.
Lawrence Knutson, you know, we're talking about George H.W. Bush, who very frequently vacationed in Kennebunkport, Maine. There's also, of course, John Kennedy, who was on the Cape as often as he could be. President Obama and, in fact, President Clinton vacationed both on Martha's Vineyard. What is the appeal of New England to presidents, especially to those who aren't from here originally?
I think you have to understand Washington in late July and August to answer that question. Washington is hot. It is notoriously humid. And sitting on a bench somewhere along Cape Cod and letting a sea breeze curl your hair is probably better than letting your hair be curled by humidity in Washington.
Lawrence Knutson, let me ask you, I can't think of a period of U.S. history that's so replete with tranquility that the president's leadership and decision-making isn't needed. So given that fact, is there a time that you think that a president would not be criticized for taking a vacation, or is this just sort of part of the burden that a president must bear?
And it depends on the times. Franklin Roosevelt, for example, 3 days after the famous 100 days ended in Congress and Congress went home, the president went to Marion, Massachusetts, boarded a chartered two-masted schooner, sailed up the New England coast to Campobello Island. He was caught in a fog bank, and the Secret Service lost track of exactly where he was. And Colonel Edmund Starling, the head of Roosevelt's Secret Service detail, rented a fishing boat, found the president, and found that he was in extremely good health, happy, and there was very little criticism of any of that I have ever been able to discover.
In the midst of the Great Depression, so President Obama today should only hope to be so lucky.
He could only hope to be so lucky, but you get that kind of criticism. It is an easy criticism to make. You get it generally from the political opposition. Ronald Reagan, for example, during trouble in Lebanon with the U.S. Marines, was criticized by Democratic Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, for riding at the Reagan Ranch in the mountains above Santa Barbara, California, and going blissfully along while the nation shudders and shakes. And that kind of thing has happened really in every administration. Richard Nixon was the subject of a full-scale congressional investigation of the public money spent at his two retreats. It all came to an end when Nixon resigned because of Watergate, but the investigation was certainly there.
Well, Lawrence Knutson is author of Escaping the Gilded Cage, an illustrated history of presidential vacations. And we've got photos of presidents vacationing right here in New England at our website, radioboston.org.